Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Going up into mountains changes you, doesn't it? I think so. Mountains, you know, huge rocks, all of these things are all monuments to God's creativity. I'm always amazed when I get to go up into the mountains. I love going up to the Sierra Nevadas when I lived in Folsom. I love the forests. I love the huge vistas, the views, the scenery, the clean air, the wildlife. Mountains also provide inspiration. Just look at the work of Thomas Kincaid. It's gorgeous. It's uplifting. He's able to combine serenity and power all at the same time. Mountains seem to draw us up and away from the mundane and the daily to something that's beyond ourselves. Mountains give us a perspective on life that calls us to see something bigger than who we are. The Sierras in particular, however, also provide a surprise, something you simply don't expect necessarily when you head up into the high country. When I went to my first pastor's retreat at a little town called Myers, I was struck by what a surprise Lake Tahoe is. If you take a look at this picture from the space station, you can see Lake Tahoe there in the middle and to the right, look to the right or off to the east. Because when you think about it, what would it have been like, you know, in the early settlement days to come from the east across those miles and weeks of nothing but dry and desolate desert, and then to put out the effort to hike the dry side of the mountains and suddenly to see what looks like a sea, this vast body of fresh, clear water is where you would have no reason to expect it to be. Why would there be such a gigantic amount of water right here in the midst of the high mountains after days and days and days of dry, arid desert? Coming across that desert, you'd have no expectation of ever seeing such a sight, and yet there it is, just waiting to surprise and delight you. Now, yes, you'd have had water from streams or rivers and the occasional spring, perhaps, but this overabundance of water, such a thing is just simply not to be believed here on the top of this mountain. And yet it's that not believing what you see in the mountains. That's what happened for Moses and the Israelites in the Old Testament lesson today, isn't it? For them, meeting God on the mountain was something that you just would not expect from wandering the desert after leaving Egypt. And reading further on in the text, it would have been amazing for the people of Israel to come to Mount Sinai and to have their leader talk with God. And notice this talk between Moses and God took 40 days. It's like what we're going to go through in Lent starting on Wednesday. After Moses had been on that mountain with God those 40 long days, he then returns and gives you, from God's own hand, stone tablets with God's own handwriting. Never has anything like it been seen by anyone at any time. This is simply not to be believed. But, like the water of Lake Tahoe, it can't be denied. It is true. God has given to Moses, to the people of Israel, and the world, God has given his word of covenant and law here on the mountain called Sinai. But as you read the history of the people of God in the Old Testament, we learn that the novelty of obeying God's law sort of wears off after a bit. Again, it's like Lake Tahoe becoming something ho-hum for those who live there. The Jews had simply become accustomed to God's amazing law, the law that he had given to them by his own hand. Its freshness and uniqueness had turned into the mundane and the ordinary. The fantastical revelation for them became just a functional reality. The expectation of more, of wanting the wow factor, along with a feeling of entitlement, replaced the people's awe and humility that first filled them at receiving God's handwritten words. It now became something about, well, what's next, God? You rescued us, you fed and clothed us. You guided us and met us on the mountain. You gave us the covenant, but what's next? What are you going to do now? We're getting a little bored, you see, and you need to do something else to get our attention. How jaded we can become. We get bored with life and its responsibilities for our relationships, both our earthly relationship and our heavenly relationship with God. And so we kind of want to escape it all. God gave his covenant, and it was greeted by the people with enthusiasm and a commitment to follow through, but that energy failed over time as they became more concerned with themselves and less on their relationship with God. They became tired of living with what God had given them and with caring for him. There was a sad story in the Seattle Times newspaper back in the 90s of a U.S. Army enlisted woman who killed her healthy 4-week-old baby daughter by leaving her in a closet while she went on a vacation. She placed the baby in the closet in her apartment in Germany and flew to Atlanta, Georgia for a 3-week vacation. When she returned, she called the military police to report that her daughter had died. She pled guilty to charges of premeditated murder during her court-martial. She just let her baby die because she wanted a vacation. Now, I grant you, that's an extreme example, but it speaks to the truth of what happened over time with God's people and how they came to treat their relationship with him. Though he had brought them up out of the land of slavery and oppression, they sought to kill that relationship through their indifference, their self-absorption, and their neglect toward God. But God wasn't about to let that relationship be destroyed by such callous disregard. God knows the hearts of people. He knows because he created us, and we turned away in rebellion. And he knows we need rescue. We need saving from our sin. And so God brings us to yet another mountain. In the gospel lesson today, he again comes to a mountain and speaks, and again gives us his word. The mountain this time is what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Look in the gospel at the first verse. It says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves." And then skipping ahead to verse 5, it goes on. "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" St. Peter in the epistle lesson today gives us his testimony to these words having been spoken by God. Peter was there on that mountain with Jesus when God spoke. And remember, Peter, James, or John, none of them had any idea what was yet to come after this mountaintop experience. They had no clue what you know is going to happen when Jesus takes them to Jerusalem. They don't know, like you do, that God was giving us in his Son something new. God gave us in Christ a new covenant, one not based on a new law, but rather on the fulfilling of the law given to Moses on that other mountain, Mount Sinai. And the new covenant now was sealed with blood on yet another mountain, on the Mount of Calvary. And on that mountain also God speaks. He speaks through the words of Jesus when he says, "It is finished." And on that mountain, we've been given grace. Grace through the person of Jesus Christ. Again, like the overabundance of water in Lake Tahoe in the mountains. On the mountain of Christ's death on the cross, he supplies us with surpassing grace to more than meet our every need of forgiveness for our sin. This one, this Son of God who died on Calvary, is the same Son of God revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration to Peter, James, and John in today's gospel reading. At his transfiguration today, Jesus is changed in his appearance to show us, through the witness of these three disciples, the fullness of the Godhead in the one person of Jesus Christ. The transfiguration wasn't so Jesus could change. It was so that his followers' understanding of who he was could change. It's to us that this change has been revealed, so we can have a hope to live in throughout all our days. God cares for his creation and wants a real relationship with his people. That's why he does this on this mountain. God's words to the disciples there on the Mount of Transfiguration were, "This is my Son. Listen to him." God is giving us yet again, there on that mountain, his word. He gives us his living word now, Jesus Christ, not stone tablets carved from a mountainside, but his word now made flesh. And in Jesus, in our baptism into Jesus, God writes his word on our hearts. Jesus, the Son of God, begotten of the Father from before the foundation of the world, has come to the mountain and put God's word into us. Like we said at the start, mountains are places of inspiration and beauty. King David in Psalm 121 says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth." These words give us a reminder of the source of our help, Jesus Christ, who is revealed to be God in human flesh there on a mountain. Even when mountains are obscured by distance, fog, or cloud, we know that they're still there. And when our experience of the relationship with God, of our relationship with God seems distant, or clouded and foggy to us, we know that he is there, just like the mountains. We rely and trust on what he has done in creating a better relationship, on what he has said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." So the next time you get the opportunity to go driving through the mountains, stop someplace up there and get out for a quiet moment. Think about what God has done on all the mountains in Scripture. And remember the Mount of Transfiguration and the better relationship with God that is yours as a result of that. And then pick up a rock from that mountain and bring it down with you. Let it remind you that the mountain is there even when you can't see it. Remember, the Mount of Transfiguration wasn't so Jesus could change. It was so that his followers' understanding of who he was could change. Jesus is our overabundant source of help and hope and grace and mercy. He's the one on whom our relationship with our Heavenly Father is based. He is the mighty rock, the mountain high and lifted up that our faith and hope rely on. In his name we pray. Amen.